Luke 10:27, and he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." It takes obedience, and above all, it takes faith.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Love Test and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The Love Test. We're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Our sermon today is The Love Test. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, that you will open up our hearts that we may receive your word today. Father, I ask that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own. God, I ask that as we leave this place today, that your word will not depart from our hearts, but we will go forth and speak your word to those who need to hear it. Teach us this day, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. The love test. Let's go through this and see what we find out about ourselves in conjunction with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, God's word will test our love for him. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Have any of you ever prayed that psalm? For God to search your heart, to know your thoughts. What would God find if he was to look into your heart today? What would God see you thinking about if he was to search your thoughts today? Well, you know something? God does search our hearts. God does know our thoughts. Our thoughts are not as private as we think they are. God is always looking at our hearts, and this is something that we should do ourselves, for ourselves. We should search ourselves, and we should get to know our heart for God, and we should try and know our own thoughts pertaining towards God. Okay, number one, do you love God with all of your heart? Ask yourself today, do you love God with all of your heart? Now, the first part of this scripture, Luke 10:27, says, and he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Good deeds, religious acts, good behavior are meaningless if our hearts do not belong to God. You ever hear the term fake it till you make it? People can fake it, but they don't always make it. It's not easy giving your entire heart to God. But once you do, all of these other things fall into place. When you give your heart to God, you are able to do good deeds. You no longer have to do religious acts because you are in a relationship with them now. You got good behavior, and nothing is meaningless. But without your heart belonging to God, all of this doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter. Put yourself in God's place. When people do things for you and they don't mean it from their heart, it hurts you, doesn't it? Who likes a fake? I don't like a fake, right? When people do something good for us, we want them to mean it from their heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees." Now, what does that mean? Are we talking about eyesight here? No. We're talking about perception. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Don't go by how somebody looks towards you. Don't do that. Go by how they're living their life in front of God. Because listen, God looks at the heart of people. See, people could come up against you and they could talk all of the jive that they want to talk about you. But people who know your heart aren't going to believe them because they know your heart. Because your real friends see what's inside of you and not what's coming on the outside of you. Your fancy clothes, your fancy car, your fence, none of that matters. Not to God. It's what's in here. True friends search the heart. This is what God does. He searches our hearts. He looks towards our hearts. Now, you know, as people, we judge people by how they dress, don't we? We judge people by how they talk. We judge others by human standards, but God sees the heart of the person. See, we judge by human standards, but God sees the heart of people. That means that not everybody that you think is going to the bad place is really going there. It just means that God isn't done with them yet. It just means that God is looking inside of them and he's seeing something that you may or may not see. That's why it's very dangerous to judge people. And God doesn't like it. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Giving our hearts to God is the very first step to salvation. Giving our hearts to God. That means just releasing everything over to him and saying, Lord, I do not want to be in control of my life anymore. I don't want to control other people's lives. I want to give my heart over to you. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. That's the first step to salvation, is surrendering your heart. God wants our hearts. And that's why it's the very first thing he mentions in this scripture, because it's the thing that comes first. So ask yourself today, what is in your heart that's blocking God from getting through to you? Number two, ask yourself, do you love God with all of your soul? With all of your soul. With all of your soul. Do you love God with all of your soul? Luke 10:27, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Our souls are who we really are, not who we pretend to be. Our souls are the person that we are when we're around people who are not going to church with us. Our soul is what comes out when we're at work and we're not around Christians. Our soul is what comes out when we're in front of the video machine and we're about to rent a movie that we know God wouldn't want us watching, but we rent it anyways. Our soul is what comes out when we turn the radio dial and we listen to music that God doesn't want us listening to. Our soul is our personalities. What kind of jokes do we make when Christians aren't around? What kind of behavior are we into when Christians aren't around? What kind of talk are we into when Christians aren't around? Remember, Jesus is always around. God is always weighing your heart. So you can come to church and you can put on the smile and you can hold the Bible and you can leave here and you can act any way you want to, but God is not being fooled. Do you love God with all of your soul? Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3 says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Now, they were the religious leaders of the time. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. Now listen to me. The Pharisees in the day were caught up in religious acts. They wanted everybody to be religious. They wanted everybody to be under a controlled substance called religion. Religion can control you. But see, only Christianity wants you to submit willingly. okay, to be an offering to the Lord, a free will offering, to give yourself over to God out of love, not out of religion. That's what Christianity is all about. So what we got to be careful about is that we don't get around other people who are not Christians and we start acting like them. We don't want to act like the people that are at work who aren't Christians. We don't want to act like the people who are at our schools who are not Christians. We want to apply Christianity and be an effective witness to them. We want to make the difference in their lives. We don't want them rubbing off on us. We want to be the light of the world. To do that, we have to love God with all of our soul. That means we'll have to give up some things that we deem enjoyable. R-rated movies are no place for a Christian. Some songs are no songs for a Christian to be listening to. Some jokes are not funny to Christians. Some talk is not appropriate for Christians. What comes out of us reflects our inner selves, our souls. It's not who you pretend to be. It's what really comes out. Talk to somebody long enough and you'll get to know who they are. Talk to somebody long enough and you'll get to know what they're thinking. Talk to somebody long enough and you'll get their ideals. You'll get what their real love really is. Matthew 15:19 says, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Wow. This is Jesus talking. I want everybody to sit here and just look at what comes out of our hearts. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. I pray to God that this doesn't describe anybody in here. Unfortunately, it describes every person on the planet. We need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. We need Jesus to take away the evil thoughts. We need Jesus to end the murder, to end the adultery, to stop the sexual immorality, to stop the theft, to stop the false witness, to stop the slander. Number three, do you love God with all of your strength? All of your strength. You know, strength is a funny thing because it comes in many forms. It comes in muscles, right? You could be a big, strong guy, and you can love God through your physical strength. What about your emotional strength? You have emotional strength. Everybody has a level of it. Some people feel like they're bankrupt emotionally at times. But do we love God with all of our strength? Luke 10:27, and he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength." Your ability would be a better word, or at least another word. Your ability. What is God giving you strength in? What is God giving you talents in? Those are your strengths. Everybody has strengths. I don't have the same strengths that some of you have. And some of you do not have the strengths that I've got. But the question is, are we using our strengths to love God? Are we using all of our strength? Or are we submitting to the flesh? Are we submitting over to the devil? Are we giving our strength to something else? Do we worry when we're supposed to be worshiping? Are we fearing when we're supposed to be having faith? Is that where our strength is going? Or are we loving God with all of our strength? Or is it just when we're feeling like we want to? Today is a good day for me to love the Lord with all of my strength. I think I'll do something nice for him. But we should do it with all of our strength. We can only go so far on our own strength. We must let go and let God. Now, I know for a fact that there are at least one or two people in here today who are struggling with something and they have not let go of it and they're not letting God. And they're holding on with their strength instead of loving God with that strength. You see what I'm getting at? Instead of fighting your problem with your strength, you should be worshiping God with your strength. You should be using that energy for worship. You should be using your strength's energy for faith. You should be using your strength to read your Bible. You should be reading your Bible. You should have your strength helping you to worship and pray and fellowship and not worry, not fuss, not panic, not have fear. Because God does not give us the spirit of timidity, but one of what? Power. We have power in the name of Jesus. We do, like the song says. John 15:5. Ooh, I like this one. Jesus speaking here. I am the vine. You are the branches. Some of you might think you were the vine. You were the top dog. But it's Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you could do nothing. See, you can't do it without Jesus. Your strength will run out. You will get tired. You will get defeated. You will wear out. He is the vine. We are the branches, and the branches feed off of the vine. We cannot do it without our food source. And listen what he says, when you abide in me, that's the trick. Stick close to Jesus. You're going to bear fruit. Now, Jesus said that we will know of the Christians by their fruits. So when I see somebody without fruits of the Spirit, I got a good idea that they're not one of Christ's disciples. Because he told me that I would recognize them by their fruits. Patience and long-suffering and love and kindness and gentleness, to name a few of the nine. I want our church to grow fruits of gentleness and kindness and love. All of the fruits. But it takes time. It takes loving God. It takes submission. It takes obedience. And above all, it takes faith. Because if you don't believe something's going to work, you're not going to do it. Number four, do you love God with all of your mind? Luke 10:27, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, with all of your mind. Now the mind is a funny thing, because this is Satan's playground. Satan loves to get into your thoughts, and we love to invite him in. Let's not fool ourselves. We dwell on things we shouldn't dwell on until Satan comes along and agrees with us. You start thinking that your enemy is going to beat you, Satan will be right there saying, yes, he is. You start saying that you're sick, and Satan will say, yes, you are. In fact, you're even sicker than you thought you were. You're very sick. You start saying to yourself that you're going to lose everything, and Satan says, I've already got my hands on it. Thank you very much. I will take this from you. Your mind is a very funny thing. It can talk you in the church, and it can talk you out of church. Am I right? You come to church one day, and somebody doesn't say hello the way you want them to, and you decide, I don't want to go to church no more. My feelings have been hurt, and I am just too tender to be hurt like that. I'm special. I'm a special person. And nobody can treat me that way. Because your mind is talking you into an excuse. The mind makes excuses, doesn't it? For our behaviors. It rationalizes sin. It thinks about stuff it shouldn't be thinking about. The mind is the playground of the devil. God wants our thoughts to be about him and his word. That's what he wants you thinking about. Not the next television program that's coming on. Not the next big thing happening down the road. He wants you to think about him and his word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. When I first read that, I thought to myself, what? He doesn't want me speaking about it? You know, it's not supposed to come out of your mouth. No, he's saying you're not supposed to stop talking about it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So when you read something out of the Word of God, Don't make an excuse saying, well, I just don't understand it, and put it away. He wants you to meditate on it so you can understand it. He wants to give you revelation. He wants you to chew on it. When you take a bite of steak, do you just swallow it whole or do you chew on it for a while? And it tastes better when you chew on it, doesn't it? Wouldn't taste too good if you just grabbed your food and swallowed it, right? You need to chew on the Word of God. You need to savor the flavor of God and meditate on it night and day so that you may be careful. See, God wants you to be careful to do according to all, I'm sorry, some, a little bit, just the commandments that He gives you that you like. Okay, I agree with you guys. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God's not out to get you with rules and regulations. He's out to bless you. But when we don't read the Bible, that's like me taking a $100 bill and throwing it at you, and you're like, oh, no, you don't, and dodge it. That's like me telling you that there's a check for $50,000 in your mailbox, and you refusing to open your mailbox. Now, I'm not saying that there's money in the book of God. What I am saying is that there are blessings, that there are successes, that there is prosperity in the Word of God, and the prosperity starts with the relationship that you could have with Jesus Christ, because He is the greatest of all treasures. That's what He wants to bless you with. That's what He wants to prosper you with. That's what He wants to give you. Is Christ. And the more you read of God's word, the more of Christ you will get in you. Now, you could sit in church for the next 20 years and not read your Bible. You are not going to grow as other Christians do when they've only been sitting in church for a week or two or three or four months. Because they are getting the food that God has provided for all of His children, His word, and they are going to get the success. They are going to be prosperous. What I hate to see is people give up on church because they think that coming to church by itself is going to make them get all of these blessings. It won't. You have to read the Word of God. You have to speak with God every day. You have to obey the Word of God. You have to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. You have to do these things. There's principles. And when you put these principles into actions, you will be blessed. You will have victory one step at a time, one commandment at a time, one blessing at a time. God is looking to bless each and every person in here, not just pastor. Everybody. I want to see this victory flowing through this church. I want to see your life so filled with victory that when people look at you, you don't even have to say a word. They know you got Jesus, and they want to know where you're going to get them. You don't have to invite them anymore. They just follow you. Brother, I want to know what you're up to. Well, follow me. I'm going to church. I see that. I know you're a churchgoer. I see it in your life. I see it in your words. I see it in your actions. I see it in your home. I see it on your job. You don't have to tell me you go to church, brother. I see it. A light cannot be hidden. We must surrender our thoughts to Christ. See, you let junk in, you're going to have junk out. You hang around the wrong people, and they're going to give you the wrong ideas. You're going to start talking like them. You watch some of the TV programs about zombies and vampires and devils and demons. You're going to start believing that they got more power than God, because that's what TV portrays them as being. Once Satan gets in your head, he can get into your soul. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You understand what this is saying? That there are people and things that will come up against God in this world, but we destroy them. We pull those things down because we have the knowledge of God. We have the love of God. And guess what? We take every thought captive in Christ. That means when we start thinking about something we shouldn't be thinking about, we say, whoa, wait a minute. What does the Word of God say about this thought? Why am I thinking about this? And what scripture should I be meditating on to get rid of this? And then you pick an appropriate scripture, and I'm sure the Holy Ghost will feed you one. and you will meditate on that scripture, and the Lord will dissipate that thought from you. That's how you take captive. But you got to have the word of God in order to, listen, if you want to bind somebody, you got to have rope. The word of God is the binding rope against the evil thoughts Satan will bring into your head. All right, number five, we're almost done. Do you love others as you love yourself? It's easy to love yourself, isn't it? Luke 10:27, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Do your actions help others or hurt them? This is a good question. Do your actions help others or hurt them? And that doesn't mean that everything you say and do, people are going to like. There are some things that line up with the Word of God that I have to tell people, and they don't like it. They get mad at me for saying it, but it's the Word of God, and it lines up with the Word of God. But what I am saying is that do your actions help others or hurt them? Matthew 23:4. He's talking about the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them from their finger. We put standards on people that we expect them to live by, but we ourselves don't live by those standards. The only standard that we can expect anyone to live by is the love of Jesus. You got to start there with people, and you got to end there with people. When you start loving people the way Jesus loves people, you're on the right track. And you can do it, because he will give you the strength to do it. You will stop hurting people, and you will start blessing them. You will stop running from people because you're afraid they might hurt you, because you're afraid they might let you down again, because you're afraid they won't appreciate everything you do for them. But guess what? People will let you down. People are going to hurt you. People are going to run away. They're not going to appreciate you. This is going to continue on for the rest of your life. You're never going to escape it until Jesus comes, takes you home. Unless you do everything as if you're doing it for God. So the next time that you do something for someone who doesn't appreciate it, you're doing it for God. He appreciates it. The Bible says that God is your reward. People aren't your reward. God is. The person who hasn't paid you back the debt they owed you, forgive them. Walk on, knowing that you did it unto God, and God will reward you. Sometimes the reward is just a release. Sometimes that's the only reward you get, that God just took that away from you, that you didn't need a reward. That's one of the best rewards, right? God taking it away. That anxiety, that need to be paid back. We don't do things to be paid back. We do things because God has asked us to help one another. And not everybody that you help is willing or able to pay you back. Sometimes they don't even appreciate it. And the Bible says to do our good deeds in secret, so that your Father who sees what is done in secret will openly reward you. But see, he is the reward, not the person you're doing it for. I can't pay you back for the things that you do for this church. I just can't. But I promise you that if you've done your deed to this church out of your heart for God, he will reward you. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know he will. It could be in this life. It could be in the next life. I don't know. Because that's up to him to hand out the rewards. But I do know that in the meantime, we're to love people the way that we want to be loved. I don't like people calling me names and cussing me out. I don't like people hating me. I don't like people treating me bad. I don't like people slandering me to everyone. So I don't do those things. Ask yourself the next time you're doing something, would I want this done to me? Don't say, does that person deserve it? God saved us out of our sin when we deserved to die, and he didn't give us that. We need to give that kind of mercy to other people. And I know that we have a lot of people in here that do that. And I know that we have some people that still haven't learned that concept of mercy and forgiveness. But that's okay, because God is still working on us all. And some of us are on different levels. Some of us have matured in that area, whereas some of us haven't. But for those of us who have matured, we can't judge those who haven't. We need to be patient with them and love them the way that we would want to be loved, and give them direction and give them guidance. So do you, in your actions, help others or hurt them? Do you judge others? Romans 2, verses 1 and 3. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same thing. Remember the car driving analogy? I've forgotten my blinker. I've cut people off in traffic. And I've gotten angry and judged people on the road for the very thing that I do driving down the road. We know that the judgment of God rightfully falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? God is watching. God is the judge. He prefers mercy more than anything. He wants to give us mercy. But we have to give what we want from God. You want mercy? You have to give mercy. Blessed are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. In conclusion, I want to say that we need to ask God today to open our heart up to His love. See, not my love, not your love. To His love. We have to open our heart. We have to receive His love. By receiving His love, you will be able to give it to others. You must possess something before you can give it away. If you don't have the love of Jesus in your heart, how can you give it to someone else? How can you give something you don't own? How can you tell somebody about something you yourself don't possess? Are you going to give your good works over to somebody because you're a good person? You can't give that to somebody. But you can give them Jesus if you've got Him in your heart. People will see Him all over you. You will be dripping wet with Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, there'll be a trail followed like puddles of water on the floor when you walk in from a rainstorm. Wow, Jesus has been through here. This guy is dripping with Jesus. I feel God all over this woman. I feel God all over this church. I feel the love of Christ. Are they perfect persons? No, we're not perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need a Savior. But we've got Jesus, and we've got the love of Jesus. We know that Jesus has forgiven us for all of our sins. We know that Jesus loves us. We know that God wants us to be with Him. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to grow us. Right now, God wants to take every person in this church, and He wants to grow you. He wants to mature you. He wants to teach you. He wants to spend time. The God of the universe, of all creation, is looking down from heaven, and He's got His eye on each and every one of us individually, and He loves and cares about each and every one of us. And He wants to spend time with little old us. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your possessions. He wants you. And when He has you and you've accepted that, you will freely give Him anything that He needs to get the next person in. See, I guess what I'm trying to say here today is God wants to give you a gift. And if you've accepted that gift, you know what a great gift it is. And if you know what a great gift it is, you want to share that with other people. And some of us are evangelists. That means we can go out and speak to people about God. But some of us aren't. Some of us are Andrews. Andrew always brought people to Jesus. He brought the little boy with the fish and the loaves. He was always bringing people to church, if you will, so to speak. So some of us can't preach the gospel, but we can invite people. Some of us can't do everything that we need to do for somebody because we don't have the skill, but we can bring them to church and find someone that can help them. You see what I mean? we can all find something that we can do to help somebody come into the kingdom of God so that they may be blessed the way that we're being blessed. But until each and every one of us accept the love that God has for us, we're not going to be able to tell about it. Listen, if you don't believe something, you're not going to be able to tell a convincing story. You're a telemarketer? I used to be a telemarketer. The first thing they teach you is to believe in your product. Because if you don't believe in your product, you can't get the person on the other end of the phone to believe you. You got to know the product. Some of us even try the product. So we know all the good and all the bad. We need to try Jesus out and see all the good. Because there is no bad. We know what the world's like, right? What does the world do to us? Lies, steals, kills, slanders, false witness. You heard about it, right? We know what the world's got to offer. This is our safe haven. This is our little place that God has given us on the weekends that we can come. And in the middle of the week, where we can be loved by one another, cared for one another, where we can worship Jesus. What a gift he has given us, the church. This is a precious jewel in our lives. This is a precious, precious thing that God has given us. This is the place that we can go where you're going to be loved. I love every one of you guys out here. I really do. And some of you who know me really well, you know that I love you. Because God has given me a great gift. And I want to share it and I want to grow it. I want to share it. I want to grow it. We want to share it. We want to grow it. We want to share that love. We want as many of us as possible so that we have a bigger family to love us back, right? So we have a bigger family that we can love, right? That's what church is all about. God has given us the church so that we can love one another, be safe with one another, help one another, and stand with one another, and of course, above all, worship and praise and love him with one another. Praise God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.